Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, welcome to the New Year's Eve live edition of the BeardNet podcast. I am Pro Matt. I forgot my name for a second there. I almost called myself Cutman Matt. You can tell how long it's been since we've actually done this. And what was Jordan's name again? Corporate Jordan. That's right, Corporate Jordan.
Yep.
Gotta actually have prepared for this thing, but I didn't really, so... can't even play your theme song now because it's after the fact. Well, anyway, the BeardNet is brought to you by the Mod Cabin, Backwoods Beauty Products for bearded men. Find them online at themodcabin.com or on Twitter at themodcabin. Proud sponsors of Beards on MMA. If you're not part of their mailing list, I would urge you to join up. They did send a nice Happy New Year email today, along with about 400 testimonials talking about how great the birch tar soap and all their beard oil is, and I have to agree. Yes. So coming up on this edition of the BeardNet podcast, we're going to be talking about anything and everything. We're going to get into breakfast with Fedor, UFC 195, New Year's resolutions, video games, blow,
whatever the fuck we want to talk about.
The NBA, whatever happens, because that's exactly what happens on the BeardNet is we start talking about one thing and we talk about 14 other things. So how's it going, guys? How was your holidays?
Good. All right. Yeah. I got a new laptop from Jordan. Technically, you know, my wife bought it from Best Buy, but since it's an HP, I feel like Jordan had his hand in there. Just a little
Jordan
bit.
Definitely had a hand in it.
Yeah.
So I may have sent a link, whatnot.
You know, the best part about this is just such an us move here is that we decided to run this show live for the first time since we came back. And I don't think we actually tweeted or told anybody that we were doing it.
Oh, we should probably – do one of you have the account up? Because I don't even have the account on the computer. I don't even know.
Hang on. I'm sending out the link right now.
I don't even have the password to the account.
I think I do. Well, I think I got it once, and then I just – you know, I logged in and just saved it, and now I don't remember what it is.
Yeah, so
I'm not saying I want it
or whatever, but
Yeah. I don't think I actually know the password to the BeardNet account here either, so I'm going to log into Beards on MMA and tweet it from there.
No, BeardNet, it's on my old laptop that doesn't have Jordan's hand in it, but not the new one. I have to transfer those passwords, though. Hey, why can't you just, speaking of, like, you know, I just got this new computer, and, you know, I need to move all the porn from the old one to the new one, you know, for when I travel and it's had Wi-Fi in the hotel. And I really wish that that was a faster process. You know, I've got them connected to a home group and just transferring the files, but it really just takes a long fucking time. I really wish you could just, like, hook up two computers via USB cable and just, like, they just fucking talk to each other. Get on that, Jordan.
How old is your old laptop?
8 years old.
Okay. I was going to say, because you can probably hook them both. Well, you can hook the new one up definitely to your home network and remotely access other computers in that network. But I don't know that an 8-year old laptop could do that. Oh, you are doing that. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. It's just like when I got all the files that I want to transfer over like together and then hit like, all right, do it. It's like, all right, I'll be done in 17 hours. And I was like, I don't have the time to sit here and clog up the network for 17 hours. But I've just been doing it in chunks while I'm asleep.
Yeah, it beats the old way that I used to do. I remember
Did
back
you, like,
before...
Put it on a jump drive?
No. I mean, the jump drives weren't even big enough back then. I'd have to keep going back and forth. What I ended up doing was I had two MSN Messenger accounts, and I would just send files back and forth between the two of them.
Oh, that's a pretty good idea, though, actually. Not bad.
Computer stuff.
Our anti-tech Jordan over here hates everything to do with those crazy tech companies like HP.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of my favorite ones, actually, now that you mention it. I'm not even going to see corporate Jordan's coming out. I'm not even going to go down this path. HP's rad. That's it. I'm not going to say anything about anybody else. I don't know.
All right.
I will not make wild accusations.
Well, not anymore. That's old Jordan. Corporate Jordan doesn't do that.
Corporate Jordan likes those paychecks.
All right. So what are we talking about first? Are we going to talk about MMA first or resolutions first?
Well, let's quickly go into Breakfast with Fedor, because that was kind of the biggest thing happening these last couple days, sports and MMA-wise, I'd say. I guess nobody's really surprised over the outcome of the Fedor fight. I mean, a lot of people were saying that Jaideep Singh would have a puncher's chance, and sure.
He only landed, like, one punch. That was it. Like, and it wasn't even really a clean punch. You know, Fedor was backing up, and Singh kind of just glanced him as he was backing up. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fight.
it was a fight.
You know, it was only a couple of minutes long. Fedor had kind of a neat slam, you know, in there where, you know, Singh rolled up. But other than that, I mean, honestly, I think that the person that really stood out on this event for me was Mo. King Mo, fighting three times in 3 days.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, he fought, you know, once the first day and then twice the you know, he had a day off and then twice the day after that. And, you know, a TKO, a decision, and a KO, I mean, that's pretty fucking good. You know, he was on fire.
Yeah, Mo, I'd say not just Mo, but, I mean, both. How was it? Who else was representing Bellator there? AJ Matthews didn't do so good, but Brennan Ward had that pretty big come from behind victory too.
Yeah, the rear naked choke in the second round, and you know, he was fighting up. You know, he's a natural 170er, and that's what he prefers to fight. But you know, this is 185, and he's just like, I'm gonna fucking, you know, I'm not. He's like, I fought at 85 before. He won the 85 tournament in Bellator, you know. So he's like, oh, to fight on this card? Yeah, I'll fight at 85. No fucking problem. nice rear naked choke there for him. But, yeah, AJ Matthews got knocked out in the first. It was a direct hit to the temple. Guy just caught him, you know. And then Thompson ended up getting TKO'd. I don't know if you guys saw that, but he got rocked. you know, like goofy way. It was like a fucking Rocky movie by the time that was over. So yeah, it was bad. And, you know, I think he was probably still pretty stiff from his hamstring injury, which was only like what, 6 weeks ago.
So, yeah, I was surprised he was fighting, honestly.
I was too. That makes two of us. Because I even asked him, I was like, oh, you're not going to fucking fight. You won't be able to have a training camp, is what I told him. And I think now we see that was probably true because he did look extreme. I don't know if you guys saw, but he looked extremely soft. Like, he didn't look in shape, you know, coming into this fight. And that, how can you? And you can't run. You know, you can't do anything if you're, you know, with your legs good. So you're not going to have a great fight camp, you know, with that. But, you know, he's huge in Japan, so I don't blame him for winning, you know, to make it happen.
Yeah. I saw the results, so I didn't watch it. I mean, a lot of times like that, I'll, if there's a fighter that I like or like that, I'll read the results. And if it's something like that, I just choose not to watch it. I mean, I don't want to see that shit.
Yeah, you know, he is a really nice guy, too. So if you feel bad for him, I mean, he tweeted out a picture of himself at the hospital or something after it. It was pretty bad. But, you know, what I do now is if it's an event like a UFC where I don't want to drop $50 for an HD, whatever. Honestly, I mean, the gifs are always up on Reddit's MMA forum within, like, seconds of the fight. So I can basically watch all the fights, you know, in just a little bit of a delay. So it's not a bad method. But in this one, I actually did stream it when I could live, and then this morning I watched it on Fight.com, the actual whole event. And I don't know what they were showing on TV, but instead of commercials on the Spike.com event, it was all like the old Bellator, like, showed some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, and then, like, Jimmy breaking down different, you know, past fights in Bellator and shit. So, you know, it was always something on. It wasn't kind of, like, boring or anything.
Yeah, the only complaint I heard about the Spike broadcast was that they showed King Mo's semifinal and final victory and didn't show the first round KO.
Probably cut the time.
Yeah.
I think that it probably fucked with Spike a little bit just from having some knowledge of, you know, what they're used to. These 10-minute first rounds, I'm sure, like, fucked with the production a little bit because they weren't used to having to edit around a 10-minute first round. So I could see that maybe, like, throwing a wrench in the way things went. And then you had two full days of fights they were trying to show, too. So his championship win was, like, he knocked that dude out. He fucked that guy up. But
yeah,
the first fight that he had, the dude looked like fucking, like, the dude looked bad. Like, I don't know, like, I didn't know much about him. I was like, man, that dude that Mo is fighting in the first round is like a bad motherfucker, you know? He's, you know, big old fucking, like, you know, Jack, like, 205 or whatever, with a huge fucking beard, you know, he'd be right at home from us, you know, this old English brawler type. And,
yeah, he looked like Phil Baroni's evil twin.
Yeah, it was fucking, I was like, he looks like a bad motherfucker. And then, you know, when Mo put him down, the sequence of Mo putting him down was just like Mo just teeing off however he wants. And I swear to God, at one point in time, Mo, like, looks at this guy kind of like the Russian looked at Rocky and Rocky IV. Like, why the fuck isn't this guy, like, on the ground yet? You know? How is this guy still standing? Mo's like, that guy comes directly, like, 10 fucking times. How are you still standing in front of me? Fuck. So I thought that was kind of funny. But what do you guys think? Have you seen the gist or anything about the fight that people are saying, like, six?
Oh, the guy Mo fought in the finals versus Ishii?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think that looked fixed.
Well,
I mean,
I think
it just looked like the other guy was a pussy to me. It didn't look fixed.
It looked like I don't know how to describe it. If you've never been hit in the head, you don't understand. But I mean, when you get hit in certain spots, even like not a direct hit, it womps you.
Yeah, and the guy fell over. To me, it didn't look like it even knocked him out so much as it just like knocked him off balance and he fell over. And then the other guy jumped on him. Like, I didn't think that kick was a knockout. I thought that was, you know, because then the guy followed up with, you know, with the ground and pound, and that's what stopped the fight. But
yeah,
that's like a, what was that? There was a fight recently in Bellator, and I can't remember what it was. And people, it was like a glancing blow, and people were calling bullshit on it being a knockout. And that's, you know, it's like you said, people that haven't been knocked out don't know just how fucking easy that can happen.
You know? Shamrock Kimbo.
Well, oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. And that was a night, yeah. I don't know. It seems like people these days are like, especially if it's anything to do with, like, pride, you know, because some of those fights were up and, you know, up for debate. People are always willing to say it shouldn't be fixed anymore.
Well, and I saw people say the Rousey fight was fixed and the Conor fight was fixed, and it's like,
right.
Jesus,
that's
Christ.
Fucking ridiculous. Like, come on, guys, stop looking for something. And I saw, even though I don't really care for his mannerisms, I saw something that Jonathan Snowden tweeted the other day that basically was just like, I'm just throwing shit at the wall and seeing if it sticks as a journalist. You know, he's like, that's what journalists in MMA do. They throw whatever they can at the wall, and if something sticks, they'll run with it. And if not, it's just a tweet that just didn't do anything. You know?
That's a long
Matt, what do you, I mean, that's the, is that how you did things, Matt, when you were a big-time MMA journalist?
When I was a what?
When you were a big-time MMA journalist. Didn't you write for a couple of sites for a while?
Oh, I thought you said when I was a six-time MMA journalist. So I was like, what does that mean?
Oh, big-time. No, big-time.
I mean, all right. No, not really. I actually reported on everything that was factual. outside of one thing. Outside of one thing, I was kind of pissed off that Roy Nelson was accusing Tops of forging his signatures. So I dug into that a little further, and I didn't really have any confirmation that they weren't or were. But I mean, that was the only thing that wasn't basically an interview or something that was rehashed from a press conference or an event that I was at.
He's not the only
I don't,
one that said that.
I mean, the whole thing with this the MMA journalists doing things to see what sticks. There are very few people that do that. I mean, usually you guys know where there's smoke, there's fire, right? Like even when you get something out of Front Row Brian, it tends to be legitimate more often than it's not. And
he has a pretty good track record, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's not something that's 100% confirmed, there's at least elements of truth in what he's saying.
Well, who was it? Him that broke that it was going to be Singh. For some reason, I was thinking it was that Fedor was going to be fighting the Shady Singh. Wasn't that?
No, I actually think that was Ariel Helwani.
Oh, you're right. It was. It was Ariel. And what about Dana going off on fucking Ariel the other day for basically saying the fucking truth? That, you know, what is it, 197 is canceled down in Brazil?
Yeah, has that been confirmed now?
Not, like, officially, but, I mean, I don't think the UFC has come out. No, they did. UFC officially canceled it, citing the economic crisis in Brazil, which I think is a lame excuse, and that they might be moving it, I heard, to Colorado? Or Minnesota, someplace cold. I don't know where. I just remember when I heard it, I was like, ooh, that sounds fucking cold. Fuck that.
But was that the UFC though, or was that Anderson Silva? Because I seem to remember the whole thing started with an Anderson Silva interview.
He was the one that said it was canceled, but he wasn't the one that broke that it might be moving. I think Ariel was the one that broke that it might be moving, and that was when Dana, like, called him out on Twitter and told him to shut the fuck up and stop, like, trying to clickbait people.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, because Ariel was the only one doing that.
Yeah, nobody else does that. Hey, guys, go to our website, www.unet.com. That's our website.
We gotta buy that, then.
Is that Charlotte? Is that Charlotte talking to us right there?
No, she's at my mom's house. Sorry. I think that's J-Rock kids.
Ah, corporate gay.
Yeah, if there's noise being made, it's my little kid.
But, you know, getting back on top, why did we ever stay on topic? Getting back on topic, and it's, oh, shit, I meant to say this. I found out the other day it's rising, not risen. What the fuck kind of word is rising? Like, what does that even mean? That's not a word. Risen is a word.
So that triple H, that Triple H joke I made all those months ago is actually true.
Yeah.
Wow. For anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about, Triple H was very, very briefly in WCW as Terra Rising, spelled T-E-R-R-A-R-Y-Z-I-N-G. Very odd gimmick. But as soon as I saw the name, I was like, I bet they just ripped this off Triple H. And sure enough, they probably did.
I was like, wait, it's Rising? I was like, well, Risen made sense because, you know, risen from the ashes of pride or whatever. But
yeah.
Rising? I don't even, like, and is, I wonder if that's like a Japanese word, maybe? I don't know. Nobody's really explained the background of it, but I know that these people, I will tell you this, are out to make money. And the reason I know that is because I was watching it today, and I realized that they had sold sponsorship space on the glove of these
really
players. Because, you know, the knuckle part of the glove, the main part of the glove, Ryzen, whatever, Fighting Federation, Japan, Fight, whatever. And, the Japanese gloves had the little secondary pad over the wrist. And on that one, it said, like, Goya! Exclamation point or something along those lines. And I was like, the fuck is that? So apparently it's, like, some big company over in Japan that's basically, like, the main sponsor of Ryzen. And they put their logo on the fucking glove. I was like, that's, wow. I was like, how long until the UFC starts putting fucking corn nuts on their gloves, you know?
No, they won't, because that would be detrimental to the integrity of the sport.
No. It's only detrimental when the fighters do it. When the fighters do it.
Okay.
And they're all getting raked over the coals right now because they've like posted out the biggest year ever, like $600 million in like net profit or something like that. And somebody pointed out that they haven't increased fighter pay at all. And they're like, so wait, you're having my best year ever, and none of that is going to the fighters? And then Dana White, of course, is just like, shut up, goof, you have big ears, to the person.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, the guy did have pretty big ears. They weren't like Will Smith on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air big, but that's still a pretty dick move.
He took it well, though. The guy followed the thread. He was like, I do have big ears. Here's some other pictures of me with even bigger, like, ears. You can see. So I was like, that was the right way to handle it. You know, he kind of got out in front of it. But it did remind me of this story. I was in high school with a guy named Ryan Smock. I don't know what he does now. Probably going to be pissed I use his real name. He's, like, something important. But anyway, his name was Ryan Smock. And he had, like, mogwai ears, like, from Gremlins. Like, they were straight out from his fucking head by, like, a foot on each side. So he goes in high school, I think it was junior year, to get a procedure called an otoplasty, which is basically where they make a cut behind your ear and they take out some cartilage and then pin the ear back so that they lay flat like normal ear. And he was supposed to wait, I guess, a little while before he got back into sports, and he didn't. And we had a football game, and he took a hard hit, and, he still had stitches in. And when he took his helmet off, his stitches had broke that were holding the new skin edges together. And one of his ears was sticking straight the fuck out when he took his helmet off. And then the other ear was pinned back. So he was just having one huge ear, you know. And then he had to go to the hospital and get his shit pinned back again, you know. I mean, I will never forget when he took off his helmet and we were all like, holy shit. You know? he's probably like a model or something now, but, you know, back then he had to be like, and then I saw something, it was with Dana, somebody said, why you such a dick to fans, and he basically said, it's just, he's like, taking the high road just isn't as fun, is what he said. He's like, it's more fun to fuck with people. And I can actually kind of respect that at least he admits he's just fucking around, he's just trolling them on purpose, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I do admit, though, sometimes it's hard to separate Dana White the guy from Dana White the gimmick, though. It seems like they blend into each other a little bit more often than you'd think.
Yeah, well, I'm sure when you do something like that, it starts to become a part of you as well. You know, look at, like, people like Hunter Thompson, you know, who basically, you know, kind of came up with this character and then slowly morphed into actually being that guy. You know, and I think that might be what we're seeing a little bit from Dana for sure. Still an asshole, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
All right, let's any last thoughts on Ryzen? I got to say, Mo, from what you were telling me before the show, Mo made bank.
$322,000. So I
yeah,
did a conversion. Well, it's like $322,807 because it was 40 million yen.
Right.
So I did the little Google conversion. But you know what? That's not bad. It's about 100 grand a fight. And as a fighter, you know, at his level, 100 grand a fight is at least what you should be making, I think. So,
yeah,
here's
what was interesting,
like
though. I don't know if you saw, but apparently I think Jordan Breen was saying that the fighters were just getting paid in cash. Like, they were being handed giant wads of bills, which, which sort of begs the question, how are you supposed to get that across customs? Like, how do you bring that stuff back?
Shit. Yeah, because anything over $10,000 has to be declared. Well, I mean, you can. You just have to declare it. You know, I got it from, you know, this, and here's proof of its origin. I mean,
but you have to pay back a certain amount right away, don't you?
No.
I'm not on the up and up. I'm not as ballin' as you guys, so I've never actually taken more than, you know, a couple grand across a border before.
Yeah, anything
my
over, it used to be 10, it might actually be 5 now. But you just have to declare it is all. You can do it. You just have to declare it and have an origin for it so that it's not like drug money, you know,
right,
that sort of shit. But they think okay, I guess.
I don't know about Japan, but my grandpa came up with some creative ways to take cash across the Canadian border.
Did he build a tunnel like Chapo?
No, that'd be rad.
did he hide them inside the car doors or something?
Yeah, we're waiting for you to
no.
tell us what the method is.
Well, you know what? I guess the whole thing is if he tells us, then we become accomplices. So, and not just that, but then his secret's out, right? I mean, they're going to be looking when Mr. Jordan's grandpa crosses the Canadian border.
No,
they're going to be aware. I mean, you guys know there was that guy, there was that border crossing guard that knew our podcast at one time. So it's totally possible.
Well, then you should definitely tell us, Jordan.
Well, you just never mind.
All right. So hide it up your ass. It is right.
I'll give you a little tip. They usually don't deflate the spare tire in the back. So I've heard.
I see. Yes.
All right.
we apparently have a caller. So just hang on a second. I'm going to screen the caller. Why don't you guys move on to UFC 195 here?
Why are you screening him? Just put him on the air.
All right.
Don't screen him.
All right. Yeah, I guess this is our show. What's up, caller? Welcome to the BeardNet.
Keith, what's up?
How's it going?
Hey.
I had a good time hanging out with you this week.
That's good.
That's awesome, buddy.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend?
Just illin' and chillin'.
What's your name?
Chili Boots.
Chili Boots?
So, dude, if I come down there, would you let me blow you?
Probably not. I'm good. I'm pretty good in that department.
You can come in my mouth, too. I'm all for it, man.
Really? Well, seeing how we're all married and taken care of, there's Craigslist for that, maybe some Tinder, Grindr maybe. I don't know. I've heard that one works.
Dude, if you're not busy this weekend and I come down, you're open to me giving you a blowjob, right?
No, not me. I'm good.
You guys know who Joey Boots is, right?
I don't.
You want to play with your balls?
Somebody's fucking around with us with a Joey Boots soundboard. All right, we're going to let you go. Joey Boots is a dude from the Howard Stern Show. Or at least he's done a bunch of Howard Stern stuff before. So
that
was
sense.
Pretty interesting.
Okay.
No, That was pretty slick. Good job, whoever that was.
That was pretty slick, yeah.
How did they get our – did you tweet out a number for us, like call in if you have shit to talk about?
No, but if anybody's listening live, they get the number out of the show portal itself.
Hey, we have a live listener. Yay.
That might have been Jared. I wonder if that was Jared, because Jared did tweet us, as did, I can't remember his name. This is going to be really bad. Ramblin' Writer. He's Ramblin' Writer on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But our boy, he was on the show that one time. Yeah.
Papa Iceman.
Yeah, Papa the Iceman, that's right.
I think it was an interview. It was an interview with Papa Iceman that I did that started our whole Ninja Turtles Mighty Morphin Power Rangers feud.
I think that was it. Yeah.
Yeah, I did an Ninja interview Turtles. With Six Pack on Ice, I think is what it's called. And that. And then that started the feud of 2014. So. I hope that
takes you to 2014 on into 2015. That's right. Hey, if you're listening out there, Jared, what's going on? I'd like to say hi, happy New Year, Merry Christmas, buddy. As our number one and only supporter. Although I think Steve Parker's become one of our supporters too. So
Steve
it's like listen. 1 and 1.5.
Steve will listen for Steve. Sure.
Yeah, Steve's listening.
So, shout out to Steve. And sorry, Steve, that we accidentally told you all of our podcast plans. We didn't realize that we were in the chat with you. And now he knows that we come up with our topics by going, hey, what the fuck you guys want to talk about? I don't know. We'll
just
right. figure it out. Okay. So.
Whoever that was hilarious.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
I wasn't sure what was going on. I was like, I'm glad you didn't screen it.
So Jared is listening. We know that much. And he says that wasn't him. All right. We're about a halfway
it's
through the show
cover.
Now. So let's pop. Yeah, let's pop over to UFC 195, which I have to admit is a pretty good card.
My boy fighting Arlovski. Anything Arlovski does, I'm into. You know
yeah, this
that.
Is
I will steal
this is
the
fight.
This, show.
This is the fight that
well,
we never wanted and is tearing all of us
well,
apart now. Is Stipe versus Andre Arlovski?
Well,
listen, I got no problem with Stipe. I don't. I really, really don't. But Arlovski's going to, like, rape his soul. That's just all that's going to happen. That's just what it's going to be like.
That is where I will politely have to disagree with you.
So you're not entirely wrong, because
he did
KO Mark Hunt.
let's cut the bullshit and figure out what we're betting.
Let's see. What do I have on Arlovski? What do I have on Arlovski? What do you want? What do you want from me? What do you want me to put on Arlovski?
I don't know. I don't know. Are we betting money? Are we betting fine goods? Or what are we betting here?
No, fine goods. I'm into fine goods. So I say fine goods. I could get you some boiled peanuts, you know, maybe some gator jerky, rabbit meat, I don't know. You know.
How about some gator jerky from the fine
All
state
right.
of Florida?
Okay.
And I will put up some Hampton Butte green petrified wood.
Some Hampton what? Hampton Butte?
Hampton Butte. Yes, that is a location.
Hampton Butte. Okay.
It is petrified wood, and
All right.
through the process of petrification, it came in contact with some chemicals and minerals and whatnot, and has turned green.
But it's indestructible because it's petrified wood.
Yeah, it's petrified wood. It's just a different color.
So you're saying that, like, this wood, it has chemicals, and it can make me, like, a superhero? Is that what you're saying? Like, that's what I'm hearing. Like, this is some, like Toxic Avenger shit. Like, I could become a superhero with a petrified wood, maybe.
But maybe not. We don't know.
You know what? I'll take the chance. I'll take that bet. Gator jerky versus toxic superhero creating petrified wood. I'm in. I'm in.
I'm good. Virtual handshake.
All right. Matt is the arbitrator of any disputes of this bet.
I am the slap bet commissioner here, yes.
With that said, I apologize that you will never get your hands on such a fine, fine specimen, because Stipe will win. And Promat, hit
yeah.
my music. Hit my music.
That's
what
we're well played.
That's what we're about.
So, and then when I win, I'm going to eat your gator jerky while I hold the wood, and I'm going to have AJ take a picture of it. So you can see me enjoying both of them at the same time.
You son of a bitch. Okay. This is going next level. Okay, I'm good with that.
Well, I got a question for you guys. How do I get my hands on some of this gator jerky? Because it sounds pretty good.
Well, you got to make
it
better.
Right. If you've had turkey jerky or anything along those lines, it's similar to that. But yeah, I mean, I can do it. Around here, you think it would be more common, but you have to get it from like roadside stands, where these people like literally will catch the gators and make the fucking jerky themselves. You know, it's like
wow,
you can't go to the grocery store and get it. Like you have to go to like the sketchy spot. But that's one thing in Florida that's kind of weird is that roadside stands are like common, like for people to have like you know there's so many orchards and groves and gardens to like. To be driving down the road and see a roadside stand every mile or so is not unusual at all. What is that? What are we doing here? Is that Jordan's house?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Jordan, what's your New Year's resolution?
I legit couldn't come up with one. I don't know. Things are going good for me. Maybe to kick more ass, take less names? I don't know.
I just realized that, like, I skipped the New Year's resolutions when the only discussion we gave to 195 was a turkey with a gator jerky bet. So let's rewind back to UFC 195 so we can actually talk. Sorry, I'm the only one that stuck to the we need to be drunk for this show. This was supposed to be, for our one live listener. This was supposed to be one of our drunk shows like we had with Brian Rogers that time, and I actually muted the phone to go puke during that show. And it was supposed to be one of those, and then things got fucked up, and here we are, and I'm the only one that stuck to it, and these two are fucking me over here. So I'm on medication,
if that counts.
You know, there's only two classes of antibiotics that are affected by alcohol. That's kind of a lame excuse. It doesn't really play like people think it does.
Ooh.
All right. Oh man, this is our boy here. Listen to this headline I just came across. No, back from the dead. Russian man wakes up in morgue after drinking too much and then goes back to party.
I saw that headline. I was like, yes. We should have that guy on the show.
Yes, we should.
I'm sure I know somebody that knows that guy. All Russians know each other, right?
I think so. Somebody. There's only about 300 million of them.
Yeah. It's a small
Let's see. He's from the Kasanki region.
Kasanki region?
Kasanki? Because I'm not Russian, man. I don't know how to pronounce that. Do we know anybody from Eastern Russia, though?
Eastern Russia.
Possibly from the Kasanki region. Well, you got to get on that. You got more connections than I do through your Bellator boys. Right.
I'll see what I can do and get this guy on our show and maybe a translator.
All right, sounds good.
Oh, hey, I just realized that Drew Dober's on this card, this UFC 195 card. How did I miss that? He's fighting Scott Holtzman. So he's going to lose. That sucks. He's a good guy. He's from a sister school of my school. He's from up around Nebraska, Omaha, that area. But, he's a Team Boggy affiliate like I am. So that's kind of neat that he's still in the UFC because I think he hasn't had the best run, if I remember correctly.
He's 1-3-1.
Yeah, yeah, 3-1-1. He had a no contest in there too. So, wow.
Yeah, but
okay.
that's one win. Because you said 3-1-1. Yeah.
Out of five fights.
Yeah, I mean it's not a bad win. It's not a bad win who he beat, but
Jamie Varner, yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of Jamie Varner, I was just talking to you guys about Abel Trujillo the other day because Abel Trujillo is fighting on this card too. I just, you know, there are certain knockouts that always kind of stick with you, and just Jamie Varner's reaction to getting clubbed by Abel Trujillo is just it just sits in my mind because it was just so horrific looking. Like, I guess it's just because I've seen it in slow motion so often when he gets hit in the jaw and his arms just go completely flail up in the air and he just goes limp and just falls over. I mean, that's pretty much every knockout, but for whatever reason, that knockout just always sticks with me all the more as being just so horrific.
Now, what knockout was it that Robbie Lawler, he knocked dude out? Was it Bobby Volker? When he knocked the dude out and then, set his legs down, straightened his body, knocked him out so completely that Robbie Lawler, walked over and, straightened his legs up, almost like some Undertaker. So,
yeah, I want to say that was the Bobby Volker fight because I remember being there in person for it. And so that would have either been the Volker fight or... Okay, so he lost to Lorenz Larkin, so it couldn't have been that fight. I'm pretty sure
it
was the Volker fight. Yeah,
the Volker fight. He fucked Volker up. I mean, that was the most impressive knockout I've ever seen, I think. It was so gangster to, set speed away like that, which leads me to who you guys got, Robbie Lawler or Carlos Condit.
I have learned my lesson.
I'm so violent.
I have learned my lesson betting.
About predictions?
I've learned my lesson about betting against Robbie Lawler.
Right? He will fuck you over. Every time you think he's out, he pulls you back in.
The dumbest thing I ever said, I swear to God, the dumbest thing I've ever said back in my six-time MMA journalist days was after the Lorenz Larkin fight, I said, you know what, he'll probably end up being a gatekeeper for the rest of his career at this point, and he's gone 7-1 since then.
Well, I guess I just don't understand why Carlos Condit is fighting for a title right now. He's 2-3 in his last five. And why is he getting a title shot when I really feel like Tyron Woodley should probably be getting a title shot?
It's shitty timing, I think.
You know, I just
the
I don't
Condit,
know. I,
well, the
I feel
Condit,
like Carlos doesn't deserve a shot.
The Condit-Lawler fight was booked after Woodley and Hendricks was.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure that's how it worked out. I'm pretty sure that's the only reason Woodley's not getting the title shot right now.
You know, Woodley's just down filming a Bollywood movie right now. That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
I can't remember. You know, I didn't know the name of the guy. I don't watch a lot of Bollywood movies or anything. And I guess the guy that is starring in this movie with Tyron Woodley is, a real big asshole. He's, the Charlie Sheen of India. Is the way people make it sound. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. You know, because all I saw was that he was some big action star over in India. And then I started hearing all this shit about how he's, partying and abusing women and, you know, all that kind of shit.
Ah, Salman Khan. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know anything about that guy, but apparently he's bad news.
Yeah, I've heard the same thing.
But in this case, though, back to what I was talking about, I would go Lawler over Condit. TKO, second round. That's right. Called it that hard. Not putting any gator jerky on it, though.
I'm going Lawler.
Lawler? All right. Matt went Lawler. He's just... he never bets against Lawler.
Sorry, you said a TKO for Condit? For Lawler.
No, for Lawler. Yeah.
For Lawler.
Second round, TKO. Lawler wins.
Condit's never been knocked out in his career. That's an interesting...
He's also never met a motherfucker like Robbie Lawler. Huh?
Oh, putting it down.
I guess not.
I mean,
no.
I feel like Pro Matt is disgusted by your prediction.
I'm very surprised. The last time I was this surprised over a knockout prediction was when you predicted that Scott Jorgensen would knock out Uriah Faber.
I didn't predict that, did I?
No, that was Jordan. And Matt completely...
Oh, yeah,
I didn't say that.
I say stuff like that all the time. Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
So, I mean, I'm saying TKO, not KO. Okay, I'm thinking it gets stopped by the ref. You know what I mean? Due to strike.
Right, okay.
I think we find ourselves in that ground and pound position, and Carlo, you know, like Condit, you know, is very, very comfortable on his back, you know, with his jiu-jitsu and everything like that. I think they end up there, and I think Lawler, you know, ends up on top, raining down, you know, hellfire and thunder, and Condit gets saved by Big John McCarthy. That's what I'm calling. That was very specific. I don't even know if John McCarthy is a fucking ref.
So,
you know what? I think that's a pretty sound prediction.
Do you think Conduit uses the same strategy he used against Diaz, where he kind of tries to point fight?
He could try. He never met a motherfucker like Robbie Lawler, just like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about all I got for 195, though. I'm not super interested in a lot of the other fights, to be honest. I mean, there's some interest.
Okay.
I just think it's a really good card,
that's all.
It's a good card. I just don't see a lot of future implications on it, you know what I mean? Other than Arlovski and Miocic. I think whoever wins that fight is getting a title shot. You know, I'm pretty sure about that. Of course, Lawler found a title fight. That's important. Everything else, I don't really see anybody that wins one of their other fights, you know, being like, oh, wow, he's in, like, title contention now, or she's in title contention. You know what I mean? That's, like, there will be interesting and good fights. It'll be more like this Rising card, really.
Yeah.
Where you have a lot of really good fights, but nothing with, like, heavy implications.
I think, well, I do think one fight's got pretty heavy implications, and that's the Albert Tumanov and Lorenz Larkin fight. I don't think they have as many implications for Larkin, but they definitely do for Tumanov, because this win would be 5 wins in a row, and he's already kind of in the spotlight just because of what he's done so far. You know, he's got, what do we got here? He's won his last 4 fights, 3 of which have come by pretty spectacular KO. The Matt Dwyer one, especially, I remember that one specifically because that was Matt Dwyer's big UFC debut, and he's a BC fighter. So anytime, you know, one of the BC guys ends up in the UFC, it's pretty big news here. And Matt got sent to the hospital off the head kick and the punch.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that you're right. And it definitely puts them on a lot more maps, but at the same time, 170 is so crowded, and there's so many other people. I don't know. I guess unless they want to fuck over Woodley again and make him fight Tumanov.
I think it'll get Tumanov into one of those elite matchups. It's not going to get him to the title shot. It's going to get him to one of those bigger names in the division. Because where is he right now in the nonsensical UFC rankings?
You know what? I don't even pay attention to those.
He's not even there.
Some of the people that do those rankings, as you pointed out in your now famous tweet, some of these motherfuckers definitely should not be doing rankings.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he's not even listed in the rankings here, so.
Yeah, right.
It'll probably get him like Neil Magny or something like that.
It could put him in the rankings, maybe at like 14 or 15 tops, but I mean, it could get him in there, I guess. But I still don't see it, though. I mean, I'm nothing against the guy. He's fucking dope, and he's an exciting fighter. But if they were, I'm good at talking about. But if they were interested, you know, right? He doesn't look like Sage Northcutt, I guess is what I'm trying to say. they seem, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like the UFC lately has been geared more toward looks and personality. You know, your Connors, your Rondas, people like that, Sage Northcutt. And then, hold on a second. I'm only on a live show right here. Some other kids want to drink. And who was it that just headlined the fight night? Sage Northcutt, you know, the girl that Dana wants to have children with.
Paige Van Zandt?
Paige VanZant, yeah. You know, even she admitted after the fight, she's like, man, I probably shouldn't have been headlining a fucking fight already. But that just tells me that the UFC is worried more about marketing than a good matchup. So Tumanov should be in the rankings, and he should be getting better fights. But he's not, because he doesn't look like an Abercrombie in 6 months. You got to come over to Bellator, bro. We don't care how ugly you are.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
We got 10 minutes here, so let's cover off the last couple things before we go. Number one, holy shit, that was a stupid move. Number one, your New Year's resolutions where you started off at the beginning there. Jordan, you said you didn't have one. Matt, what's yours?
Man, I really think I need to drink more. I don't know. I actually don't believe in New Year's resolution, because I think if you want, you know, there's no time like today sort of thing. Like, I hate it when people are like, oh, I'm waiting till Monday, or I'm waiting for the New Year. Fuck you, do it today. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right now. You know what I mean? Like, don't wait, you know, it's Tuesday. Don't wait till next Monday to go check out a gym. If you want to go check out a gym, go fucking check out a gym on Tuesday. And then get started Tuesday night. No fucking reason not to. You know, you don't need a special date to decide to make yourself a better person. Just fucking do it. And then have a drink. After you get back from the gym, of course. You don't want to drink at the gym. Although some people do. I'm pretty sure there's a guy in my gym that has vodka in his water bottle. What's your resolution, Matt?
Yeah.
I don't make them because I don't have the willpower to keep them.
Oh.
So whatever happens. I admit it though. Like every year that I set one, it's done. If I want to lose weight, I'm back to eating fast food by like the 8th of January. If I want to exercise more, I exercise more for those 2 weeks and then go back and live life. I don't have the willpower to keep anything up long term.
I'll tell you, you were talking about losing weight. I'm in the middle of a cut right now, and I'm down about 10 pounds. And today was my first cheat day in like 2.5 weeks. And, like, I basically just ordered one of everything at Taco Bell. Like, I pulled a, you know, like, the Rock, where I just went fucking bananas. And I got a Dorito taco, a Taco Supreme, a Crunchwrap, a cheesy potato burrito, and an order of cinnamon twist, and a soda. And I ate all that shit every fucking
day.
Wow. And I was so hungry when I was done. I didn't care. You know, I've kept myself to a 600-calorie-a-day deficit during this cut. So, you know, I've been pretty fucking hungry. I'm ready to kill some motherfuckers. But today was Taco Bell, and it was glorious. So, looking to drop another, probably about 15 more in the next Bellator show. Maybe 10, 15 might be stretching it, but... you know, but I didn't wait, I guess, is the point for a resolution to be at. You know, I just, you know, I started that in November because that was, you know, that was the time to fucking start it. And, you know, that was something, as a former personal trainer, and, you know, I coach, you know, and now with pro athletes and shit like that, you know, just fucking do it, man. Like, I hate it when people, like, you know, wait and to do shit. It's just like, that's what the gym wants. That's what Planet Fitness wants you to do. They want you to, like, come in and sign up on the, you know, January 1st and never show up again. And don't fucking do that. If I give a pep talk to our listeners, don't fucking do that. Go out and fucking take what you want. Don't wait. Because if you wait, somebody else will take it right out from under you. Jordan knows. Jordan went out and took what he wanted, right?
What's that?
I said, you went out and took what you wanted. You didn't fucking wait till New Year's to go out and get your degree and get this dope job at HP and, like, you know.
That's right.
Commit corporate espionage and shit.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, if you're going to do it, I guess. I don't. And that's the hard part about New Year's resolutions. It's like, it's got to be something big enough that you can actually focus on it for a year. And it's like, those decisions aren't easy. And I don't know. My main goals right now are to.
Well, you know what's a better system than New Year's resolutions, now that I think about it, is Lent. I'm not a Catholic, but really Lent is like a trial resolution. Like, you can make it through Lent, you could probably make it a resolution and stick to it. You know, if you can make it 40 days, whatever Lent is, you could probably make it through, like, and create a permanent behavior change with a resolution. So there you go, people. I guess that's my new advice. Try it out for 40 days at Lent, and if it sticks, then go for it as a resolution.
Are we doing Lent this year? You guys want to do a Beards on MMA, or what podcast are we? A BeardNet Lent this year?
The BeardNet.
The BeardNet on MMA Lent?
Yeah.
Do we have to go to church?
Give up?
Yeah, I'm not going to church. I don't know if we just, do we give it up, or what do we do?
I don't know.
We got 6 weeks to think about it.
Just so everybody knows, I picked this topic, and it's a fuck all. This one just train wrecked.
No. I mean, Lent is a fucking crazy time because the motherfuckers don't even make it through Lent, you know, without going bananas. Like, I have a friend that gives up soda every year for Lent and never fucking makes it. Never fucking makes it 40 days. You know,
I could do no soda for 40 days.
I did it. It was called fucking boot camp. You know.
Could you do no booze for 40 days though?
He'd die.
Yeah, I could. Uh huh. I do. You know, and I take periodic breaks to get my liver for a rest, to be honest. you know, it's one thing that's good for you, man. It's liquor though. But seriously, yeah, I take breaks from time to time on liquor, you know, 3, 4, 5 months at a time, to be honest. Usually I'm on a cut like I am now. I've had a few drinks, you know, tonight, but in general, because the alcohol is calorie dense.
Listen, we've been talking for we've talked pretty much every day for about 2 years now, going on 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is not one 3-4 month period where you have not had a drink. I love you to death, but I am throwing a bullshit flag on that right now.
Nope, there is. AJ will tell you. And
what are you doing?
I do it just to make sure that, you know, I can't. Now, what you guys are probably mistaking for drunk is high. Don't forget, I don't stop for 3-4 months at a time. So you are mistaking the two. You're getting they can sound the same on Facebook Instant Messenger. But, what is it, 57 calories per ounce of, like, vodka or, you know, whiskey. So, you know, you gotta stay on top of that shit, you know, when you're dropping a cut.
Yeah, I've probably never paid attention because I don't cut weight.
It is the hardest thing for me to give up, though, just because, like, it's not that it's a part of my day, you know, as far as, like, a routine goes, but I like it. You know, I'm kind of I'm really socially anxious, and when we do shit like this or when I do little interviews or whatever, you know, with other things, you know, I get really fucking self-conscious. I'm super self-conscious with fans. I've told you guys that before. You know, when somebody approaches me, like, at a show, like, I for a picture or whatever, it makes me really uncomfortable, not because I don't want them to approach me, it's because I don't know how I'm supposed to fucking act. You know what I mean? So it helps a little bit with that, but, just in general, I fucking like it. I wish more people would admit that. Like, I want weed because I have, like, you know, sleeping problems. No, you want weed because you're fucking, it's fun to get high. I want liquor because it's fun to drink. You want weed because it's fun to get high. You know what I mean? Just fucking admit it. Let's all be honest here. We do bad things because bad things are fun. You know, we all want to do good rat shit with our friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially Jordan. And that's just all up there being Canadian. Like, no, you can't do bad things. You have to apologize to so many people. Which reminds me, man, I just found out that in Canada, saying you're sorry does not imply guilt the way it does in the United States.
No. No, we just kind of say it when anything happens.
Yeah. Well, and you guys do say it a lot. You know, when I've done shows up there, you guys are like, oh, sorry. And then I'm like, that motherfucker didn't mean that shit. He just said it.
We will hold the door open for you. And then when we see that we didn't hold the door open enough for you, we'll apologize for that.
Right.
Like if you're holding your suitcase and it like touches the other door, we'll apologize for not holding the door open wide enough, even though we don't really mean it. It just kind of comes out of our mouth that way.
Kind of like when we're working in curse.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
If I'm fixing something, I don't really mean it's a fucking piece of shit. Call it just like, is it? Wow. So, saying that, kind of like, okay. That's good to know.
I had
a fighter.
We call it a mother sorry piece of sorry. That's how it works in Canada.
Wait, say that again?
I said we'll just call it a mother sorry piece of sorry because that's the way it works in Canada.
I thought that's what you said.
Gosh, I wish I could have fixed you sooner. Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. Gosh, dang,
never. I had a fighter apologize to me the other day during a fight because he accidentally spit on me. And, you know, his coach gave him water, and I was, like, kind of below working a nosebleed, and I wasn't really thinking about it. You know, you just fucking react. And he just, you know, instinctively spit it out right on my head. You know, got my beard, got a little bit in my eye, you know, all kinds of shit. And then he was like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. And I was like, you only have 60 seconds, don't fucking talk to me. we should talk about this afterwards. Like,
and then you beat his ass backstage.
You know, that happens more than you think where they spit on me. But, yeah, that's the glamorous side of being a cut man and getting spit on. but here's what we should do. Here's how I want to end the show because we're at the end of the show. I think that we should make a list of all the friends of you know, the Beard Net that have helped us out this year, have been guests on the show, have been supportive, like Chris and Corey Gray from Mod Cabin. You know, who else are we talking about, guys? Mike Dubois, you know, David Ripple has been a great friend of the show. Stampo has been a great friend of the show. Matt Helm, who else? You know, Scotty Riggs.
Yeah,
I think
Scotty
I learned
Riggs.
More about the MMA business from Scotty Riggs being on than I ever have working in MMA. You know, so, you know, who else?
Steve. We can't forget Steve.
Obviously, Steve. Jordan, you got anybody?
Shit, I'm trying to think. Veal. Matt Veal.
Matt Veal.
And then what are we doing?
This year was a little,
are we just, yeah, sorry, are we just thanking them or...
Yeah,
I completely missed what you're doing.
I
thought you were saying we should gather all the friends of the show, and I'm like, why are you going to make them do the Lent thing too?
No. I'm just saying that, like, you know, we're here at the end. You know, this is the last Beard Net show of 2015. I was just trying to say, like, you know, we had some great guests and some people that have really supported our show, like Steve or like Corey and Chris. And
yeah.
That we should, you know,
so,
give them one last 2015 boost of you know, notoriety for three people that listen to our show.
Yeah, so sorry for fucking up your moment there.
Yeah, it's all right.
Train wrecked that one, too.
luckily, we didn't do too many shows in 2015, so we probably didn't miss very many people.
Yeah, no, we probably didn't. Jared, we got to thank Jared, of course.
Well, of course, Jared.
Jared Dave, shout out to him.
He's a cool cat. Yeah. I like him. Jeremy Royce, all the homies.
All right. And then, of course everybody that follows us on Twitter and our non-existent Instagram page that we should make.
Do we have Instagram
page? No, I don't think we do.
No, we don't.
Before we go, we were supposed to talk about Star Wars at some point today because I put that on the list, too. Did you guys see Star Wars?
La, 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 la.
Okay.
No.
All right. That works for me. That's the Star Wars chat. All right, gentlemen. On behalf of Cutman Matt and on behalf of Corporate Jordan, I am Pro Matt, wishing you and your family and your friends a happy new year. We'll catch you sometime sooner than 6 weeks from now. Take care.
Maybe.
They don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, places they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, see the real one.